Please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Options Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, including Hump Day, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we're sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, gardening-worthy, get-yourself-centered-worthy, listen-for-20-minutes or listen-to-it-all-on-Saturdays-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 26, 2020. So, Christy, we have a couple power listeners who go through and listen to all of our episodes on the weekends. And I think I've mentioned one of them before, but she continually posts on her Instagram about how we lift her and brighten her on her Saturdays and Sunday listens. So it's kind of fun that even though today is hump day, we know that we'll be inspiring people all the way through the weekend.
I like that, Summers. And it reminds you that our stories actually have a bit more evergreenness to them, a lot of them. So even if we're talking about some really big headline, usually the solutions that are embedded in there are things that can be deployed and thought about for days or weeks later, right?
Well, so. Exactly. And that's the thing about solutions, right? Solutions are not clickbait, right? It's not headline bait. It's not read it today. It has to be read today, you know. We both talked about looking at our social media feeds and people's reactions to current events and the highly inflammatory reactions that people are having and the ways that we get really, I don't know, just like wrapped really tight and really angry. And that is not a solution. If you find yourself feeling so tense, or if you find yourself writing in all caps on your Facebook page, you have to be able to recognize, just please take a step back and realize that instead, look for a solution. What could solve what is currently breaking your heart or making you feel really stressed?
Yeah. And I think this is important for every single human interaction that we have, whether it's within ourselves or within our close relationships, or even with our relationship to the wider world in our social media feeds, right? Because you have to take a step back and think, well, what is the outcome that you most would like to see? If you want to see alienation and hyperbole and, you know, fear and fear mongering and all of those things, go ahead and respond with those all caps, outraged messages. But that's not going to change any hearts or minds. You know, you're going to alienate people from you or alienate yourself from yourself, right? So that kind of diatribe isn't going to do any positive movement in the world, right? So when you're having a fight with your husband or your wife or your partner, whoever you're with, if you want to be close, does winning that argument really bring you closer? What's your end goal? Do you want to find that emotional closeness and repair the relationship, or do you want to blow it up? And that's something that you got to think about when you're dealing with anything that's antagonizing you at that level.
Well, and I think we're also just in such a sensitive place as a world right now that, you know, there's this classic therapy line for anybody who's been to couples therapy, but it's, do you want to be right or do you want to be in a relationship? And I think we have to parlay that into our experience with the world, right? Do we want to be right or do we want to be in concert with a relationship, with the world, with our community? Do we want to be on a path to improvement, a path to making things better? Or do we just want to stand and shake our fists and say, I'm right, you're wrong? And yes, we all have our big truths and our things that we anchor to that simply cannot be moved. And yes, there is a right and wrong in this world. But we have to be in relationship. We have to take care of one another. More salient than ever before, especially with some of these really, really, really heartbreaking things that are happening in the world. The climate evolution, the climate change, the climate crisis that has led to widespread wildfires in California. This just continues to happen. And we have to, instead of being enraged, we have to come up with solutions and ways to support each other. And I guess that's sort of my meandering way into the headlines we want to talk about today. We're kind of focused today on the Optimist Daily update. Christy, what do you want to talk about?
Well, the article that sparked my attention today, actually, was Therapy Dog Lends a Helping Paw to Firefighters Fighting California Blazes. This is in our Building Community section on the Optimist Daily. And this is a sweet story about a dog, a therapy dog, who has been helping some firefighters up in Marin County. The thing that's important about this story is it points out the levels of emotional and mental trauma that can be found in our first responders. And right now, the ones that are at top of my mind are the firefighters who are having to struggle with putting out the massive quantities of fires that have been sparked all over California. There's a stigma around mental health for a lot of these guys. Mostly they're men, but there's also lots of women in this field now. But having to respond to these terrifying situations and having to be tough, having to be strong, having to be centered can sometimes lead to some struggling issues, PTSD, depression, anxiety. It's hard for a lot of these people to admit that they are struggling and suffering. And so this is a sweet story because it's about a golden retriever who's a licensed pet therapy dog. Her name is Kareth. And she has been visiting the firefighters up there, giving them a bit of a break and an opportunity to connect with another being who is all about loving. And I think this is super important. It's been shown that having a pet, being able to pet a dog or a cat, can lower your own stress levels. And it's also an opportunity for people to connect over this kind of experience. The thing that I thought was most important about this story is just recognizing that first responders, and that includes firefighters, it includes policemen, it includes our emergency room nurses and doctors. We've had a really, really tough time in these last few months, and we have to acknowledge that these are human beings that have emotional lives that can be triggered by having to deal with all of this fear and fright and be strong for the rest of us. So I just wanted to have a shout out to these first responders and acknowledge them as people who deserve the ability to talk about how they're doing, their personal mental health and well-being. And we have to support that.
Exactly as you describe, Christy, first responders have had a hell of a go, right? It has been a really rough time. And whether it is from the standpoint of the physicians and healthcare workers and nurses who are taking care of COVID patients, or just going to the front lines themselves and not really realizing that their lives suddenly become dramatically at risk simply because of their job. Firefighters and police officers kind of know that their lives might be put at risk because of their jobs, but they have been in such an exacerbated level of intensity. If we think it's much too much for us, you know, work from home parents, it's much too much for them too. And so I know that my animals are my dearest therapy creatures, right? Obviously, the farm that I live in with the number of animals that live in my house. But I love this story. And so Pet Tucker and...
The other thing about this story is acknowledges that there are some tangible changes that are starting to happen. And I know that last year we interviewed one of our lead firefighters here in Santa Barbara County. This was after the last year's fire season. But there really is more of an acknowledgement of the need to think about not just the physical health of the people who are on the front lines, but also the mental health. And across the board, there are some areas which are starting to address this by including things like mental health professionals at key accessible stations, increasing the ability to use personal days for just taking a mental health day. Mm-hmm. It's not just about dealing mm-hmm. with the flu, but it's okay to not be okay. And allowing that space among these people who are traditionally supposed to be super strong and taking care of themselves to say, hey, I need a hug. I need yes. a hug. Let's declare this Hug Your Firefighter Day. Although not right now, because I guess
let them socially distance. Let them hug your dog day.
It's so good to have a therapy dog because we can't hug our firefighters right now. So Kareth, you know, you get to be there to support our firefighters.
Well, as many of you guys know, my family has been personally touched by the most recent wave of fires in California. And so I have done a lot of talking with my cousin and my uncle about what it is they need and how we can help them. we created GoFundMe in support of them. I know that a lot of their neighbors and community members also have GoFundMes. And we just wanted on the Optimist Daily to take a moment and offer resources to others who are looking for solutions or ways they can help. So the other article that we'll just sort of touch on briefly, the headline reads, California Fires, How You Can Help Fire Victims and Firefighters, in our Building Community section. What this article is a list of organizations that have been vetted and reviewed that we know are real organizations doing real good in the communities. This is ways that you can participate by giving financial donations or giving additional support. One of the things that my cousin actually talked about her experience was that, you know, she and her two-year-old daughter and her husband and father have all been displaced. They are staying with friends, and they went to the market to go get some bottled water. And it turned out that all of the bottled water had been sold because people were buying it and taking it to shelters. So it was just this unexpected problem where generosity had actually put them in a position where they couldn't buy a bottle of water. So everyone is looking for the right thing to do, what you can do to help. And so these organizations really do a very good job at telling you what the community needs. The organizations include the CDP, California Wildfires Recovery Fund, Big Basin Redwoods Recovery, California Fire Foundation, the American Red Cross does a beautiful job. Global Giving, GoFundMe has actually launched a centralized hub for fundraisers specifically around people undergoing California wildfire relief. There is a Latino Community Foundation, NorCal Wildlife Relief Fund. Anyway, there are a number of others. I won't read them all, but go on and take a look at this article, share it. And if you find an organization that aligns with what you want to do to help, this is a great solution for how you can support those who are victims of the fire, as well as those who are on the front lines fighting it. You know, we live in the Santa Barbara area, and 3 years ago, hard to believe it was just 3 years ago, but where I live, which is just south of Santa Barbara, we had fires and then we were cut off because of a mudslide. And it was actually very difficult to get supplies into Santa Barbara and Montecito at that time because you couldn't even get into without driving huge distances the other direction. So we as a community have been through this. And Christy, do you want to share anything about kind of your experience in supporting the Santa Barbara community?
One of the things I think is interesting is, I mean, right now we're in the crucible of this because it's currently going on. We're not directly affected where we are this time, but the last few years have been really hard in the Central Coast. Most of these fires right now are located up north, for the moment at least. But the thing that I find heartening when I think about this is it always brings the best out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we experienced here in the Santa Barbara and Montecito communities with the fires and then the mudslides in 2018, 2019 was, or was it 2017, 2018?
It was 2017, 2018.
In 2017, 2018 was a coming together to try to support ourselves and that local resiliency, which I think yesterday we were talking about being resilient on a personal level, but I feel like communities are shown how they can be very resilient by supporting each other. We had something called the Bucket Brigade after the debris flows. There were hundreds of people every weekend going out and trying to help people dig out from underneath all of that mud. We had tragedies with people losing their lives and losing their homes. And it's really a painful thing for any community to go through. But what is, to me, one of the most positive things is that it gives you an opportunity to show that you're a decent human being. When you show up and you support
that member of community connection.
Yeah. And we get so used to just being in our own little bubbles. I mean, right now it feels like it's a different time because we have all been going through as a world this pandemic, and particularly in the United States where we haven't gotten it under control yet. So this is just on top of the already heightened anxieties and fears that have been out there with the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah.
Now we're also dealing with forest fires hitting us really hard. 100,000 people plus are displaced. Some people will not have homes to go back to, and that's horrible. As we're recording this, the hurricanes in the Gulf Coast are starting to come down. Hurricane Laura is now definitely a hurricane. This just reminds us all that we have to look out for each other, and we have to plan for a changed climate and actually start taking that seriously. So let's not forget about this while we're dealing with our immediate emergencies in front of us.
Well, some of the other headlines that do touch on this on the Optimist Daily today include major hedge fund dumps oil companies for lobbying against climate action. A tiny space rock holds clues about the planet's evolution. An article about how the world's biggest battery could help solve California blackouts. What else do we have?
And then there's also a grocery startup, which is stocking up Bay Area street fridges with free food. Again, another example of the community coming out and supporting itself. The first Canadian to legally consume psilocybin shares his experience. That's sort of a fun story about a personal journey. Africa is going to be officially declared free of wild polio. And an online retailer is taking sustainable living to a whole new level. So these are all on today's solutions. So go on to the Optimist Daily and look for that. And we're so happy that you've been listening today to the Optimist Daily update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world to ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to keep covering current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to continue to offer you the information you need to chart new paths for all of us.
Everybody, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. I'm going to take a few days off. I'm going to leave you in Amelia and Christy's hands. I will miss you all terribly, but I will see you on Monday. And between now and then, please, let's keep the Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can.